listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
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 You all right?
Well, these microphones sound much better this week, don't they, Paul?
They do. We've had the technical crew in all week putting it right.
Isn't it lovely when life works?
Well, yeah, let's not get too carried away because you know what it's like on a show like this.
Well, you know, yeah. I would like to say there was a complaint about tea bags earlier on about
there was
tea bag stains on the carpet.
Yeah.
I would like to say, Paul Andrews, that you know that I'm very famous for hurling my tea bag across the room into the bin. Get it in one.
Yeah.
Chick-a-ching.
You didn't miss then?
Never missed.
Oh, right.
No. But I will be requesting another bin for the right side of the studio as opposed to the left side.
So we need a bin donation. Anybody out there supplies bins, we need a free bin.
We've got a lefty, we want a righty.
Yeah, a righty bin.
Yeah. And, well, I've had quite a few sleepless nights with Madame Grey.
I don't want to know. Oh, I see. Yeah. Sorry.
She no, it's far too hot for all that, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we've had all the windows open. We're on the seafront, as you know.
Yeah. I bet that blows a breeze through, doesn't it?
It does blow a breeze through.
Blow a breeze through. Yeah, yeah, I can't speak anymore.
It's been a really nice southerly.
That's it.
Southerly, westerly, which is my favourite kind of wind.
Is it? You've got a favourite type of wind.
Yeah, I like a southerly or westerly.
Do you?
I'm not keen on a northeasterly.
Yeah, or a bean wind.
No.
No, okay.
Any lentils, no. Yeah. No. Although my new husband, he has problems even with fish and chips. I don't know what goes on in his digestion.
It's all right, Gavin, no one knows about it. It's a secret just between us.
I've put him on probiotic.
Have you?
Yeah, daily.
I was reading about probiotics and prebiotics.
Yeah.
Yesterday, there was some complete nonsense, and there was some doctor bloke that was flogging some,
they're very expensive.
Yeah, 30 quid for a jar.
Oh, God, they can be more than that.
Yeah, well, it was about 10 of these prebiotic, probiotic, booty, bash, or whatever it is.
And there was isn't that your bottom?
Something like that. Anyway, he had this whole spiel on Facebook with a video all about it and all these diagrams and things, and you mustn't eat wholemeal bread because it tears the gut lining and all kinds of nonsense.
It can actually. Yeah, but what
I'm trying to tell you, so I watch all this and I think, well, that's interesting. I'll think about that. So I go on to Amazon to see how much these things cost, and they were £35 for 10, and there's loads of other people flogging them.
10 tablets?
Yeah. Right, so I look at another one, and they say you need to take these in conjunction with wholemeal bread. And you go, hold on, this is nonsense.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
You want to speak to my friend Tim Rees? He's on the Twitter. He's at Tim Rees, I think. I'll check. Rees, and he's a naturopath, and he tells
is he?
He's really been
helping. Doesn't that get cold in the winter?
I don't get that. Naturopath.
Oh, naturopath. Sorry, yeah. I thought you said he's a naturalist.
Oh, that would get cold.
Yeah.
On our beach, you know, I'm off to Valencia next. On Thursday. Yeah, are you going to miss me?
Mariah.
Are you going to miss me?
Do you know what?
He's not sure, I can tell.
I am. I'm really annoyed that you're doing that.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry I'm having a holiday.
Yeah, I'm really annoyed.
I've been locked down for 2 years.
I'm really annoyed because I'm really struggling to get a co-host for the next 2 weeks. I'm really struggling.
Why don't you ask Taisy?
I've asked loads of people, and of course they're all busy doing things and going on holiday to Valencia.
This is the trouble. People do go on holiday over
vacation. Except me.
Yeah. Well, you're off to Francais soon.
That's true.
Little frog leg and then all
in
that.
August. Yeah.
Just the way he walks, you know.
Yeah.
What I was going to say, you've taken me off the whole track.
I know.
Yeah. Tim Rees has been amazing with my AstraZeneca damage. He's been really helpful.
Anyway, moving on.
And I just send him, the supplements that I've been taking, of which many, and he'll tell me if it's a good one or a bad one.
Right.
I was saying about my Darcy Greyhound, so bad tummy. She's actually on antibiotics, and I asked the vet for probiotics. So she's having probiotics as well for a little
gut. You're feeding your dog yogurt.
Live yogurt is a good one, as long as it hasn't got sugar in. But I have a little squirty thing that I put on her biscuits.
Do you?
Yeah, a little squirty thing of probiotics.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
And it's very good because, if your dog gets a bit loose, Darren, Darren, our guest here, knows all about this because he's got a little dog. What is your dog, Darren?
I've got two dogs. I've got a pug and a French bulldog.
Oh, wow. Français.
Yeah.
Oui. So you can follow Darren, just introducing him in a vague sort of way here. Darren Morehouse. His business is www.e-arc.co.uk. You can follow the man himself on Big D Morehouse. That's M-O-O-R House. And the business Twitter is ARC UK Tech.
Fantastic.
Follow him, give him, show him the love, and ask for some little pictures of his Frenchie bulldog.
Absolutely. I come out this morning, and my
did
dog...
Did you? What did they say?
Shut up.
You waited all this time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I wasn't going to mention it, but Kelly came out the other day.
Again?
Kelly Holmes. And that was exactly mine. I thought, well, hold on a minute.
Everybody knew, didn't
they? Yeah, that's right. And I thought, well, that's a bit odd. Anyway.
I think it's the thing to do at the moment. It's kind of trendy.
Yeah, so I'm going to come out.
And it's also like, you should say that you're plant-based, because that is really trendy at the moment. Everything is... I've got some crackers, Darren, at home. I've had for years. They're gluten-free. I've eaten them. Now they're suddenly plant-based. It's a bloody cracker.
Yeah.
You know, why is it... You know, everything is... Even dog food now.
I can come out as gay plant-based.
Yeah, come out as gay plant-based or anything. Come out as they, him and plant-based, I would. That would get you top of the list.
Would it? I'm going to try that.
I think we're getting a bit controversial here.
I'm going to try that.
We could well get shut down now.
Yeah, probably.
But it is the way you walk. I've always known the way
you walk. Yeah. It's a giveaway, really, isn't it?
So I minced. What did the family say when you minced?
Nothing. They won't talk to me.
Is that pink tutu? Where's that photo? I need to dig that out.
Yeah.
Many years ago... Paulie Andrews did a charity gig, and he was charged with wearing a pink tutu and doing a Zumba class. I have the photos, and I will be tweeting them out later on. It's very charming.
When I walked in, he was wearing the pink tutu. I was a little concerned.
Were you?
Yes.
But you've stayed the course.
I have, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I trapped him. I wouldn't let him out.
Anyway, who might our sponsor be?
Oh, I don't know. I've lost the plot completely.
It's the coming out bit that got me.
Yeah.
I've always had an inkling.
Anyway, I can't remember what I was trying to tell you.
What were you coming out?
I don't know. I was trying to tell you something important, and you interrupted.
Was it about probiotics?
No.
Valencia?
No.
They do a great paella where I live. Valencia is the land of paella.
Oh, yeah, I'm aware.
You know. And you can have your rabbit. I think it's conejo. Rabbit and your gambas and your chicken. And
rabbit?
Yeah, well, in Valencia they put rabbit in it, yeah.
In a paella?
Yeah. Paella.
That's him.
You don't say Marbella, do you?
No. I'll tell you...
I get a bit uppity about pronunciation of the double.
Portuguese cataplana is my favourite, though.
Oh, what is that? Is that
rice? It's the Portuguese
stew?
Version of paella, yeah.
So the rice stew?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. Yeah. And you know, I will be partaking of fresh sardines. I mean, there's nothing like fresh sardines, is there?
Just suck them off the bone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good for your vitamin, calcium, and all your bones and things.
Yeah,
just crunch the whole thing.
Amanda had whole sardines the other day. We went for a tapas at the ancient borough in Tenterton, and she had whole sardines.
Was that when you came out?
No, we went in actually.
Okay, so I saw that you were at the A, and I said scoffing again,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah,
that was on your Instagram.
It was.
Yeah, scoffing again. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know what you were going to tell me, but I'll wait for the interval.
Well, you've asked me three questions and you haven't let me answer any of them yet.
Go ahead.
Talis.
Talis, yeah.
Our sponsor this week.
Oh, thank you.
Talis, independent financial.
I thought it was something you were wearing around your neck, but that's a chalice, I think.
That's a chalice, yeah.
So they're our sponsor. What do you remind me what they do? I know what they do, but tell the listener.
They're an independent financial company, and they help people with their pensions, investments, mortgages, and their money issues.
Do you know what? I was just saying to my new husband, who's a financial journalist, as you know.
Yeah.
You can follow him at G Serkin on the Twitter. But I was saying to him, you know my friend Vicky Spitt, who sadly lost her husband from the AstraZeneca jab?
Yep.
She is one of the first ever to receive vaccine payment for these new vaccines, as we call them. And she received a paltry sum of $120,000.
That's the maximum they're paying out at the moment, isn't it? They've paid out a few now.
And she's terribly in debt because they were a band, her and her husband. And they were singers together.
Have you seen this morning that there's now a class action being started and an investigation, and there's more barristers been assigned to this vaccine damage thing than were in the Bloody Sunday investigations.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that for or against? Is that for the government, these barristers, or do you know who they're...
I lost the will to live with this a long time ago, so no, I didn't read the story in depth. I believe they're representing people that are claiming against the government.
Well, we did a tweet from one of the bereaved. It was a BBC News story, I believe it was BBC. It might have been a BBC North or something, but it was a newspaper story about a man who sadly died, and Twitter branded it misinformation, which is just so insulting. And our friend Mark Stein of GB News did a programme on it last night.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, incredibly distressing for the family.
Mm.
But on a good note,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to the show. We've got Darren, he's 6'4" in the studio.
That's what I was telling you.
Darren's 6'4"?
Yeah, he is 6'4". He's a big lad, and he's a really nice lad as well. But I know what I was telling you. She deflects all the time. As soon as she thinks I'm going to say something, she deflects it.
Gemini's
it. Yeah, two-faced. Yeah.
Leo.
Yeah.
Test tube baby.
King of the jungle. Listen. You were saying about going on holiday to Valencia, and I was having a go at you that I can't find anyone to stand in because everyone's going on holiday.
Get Darren, he'd be lovely.
Yeah, he would. Yeah.
He'd be like the Dolly sisters, you two.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, get Darren. He's near as well, Dartford. He can trundle down.
Yeah, yeah.
No problem.
Do you want to read a tweet or an email or something?
Yeah, so Darren, if you watch what I do, then you can do this when I'm away in Valencia.
Thank you.
I'll send you pictures of my paella.
Please do.
This is very interesting because, as you know...
Is that a euphemism?
What?
I'll send you pictures of my paella.
Could be. Darren will have to let you know next week. This is really interesting because, you know, for many years I did the PR for Lendlease in Canterbury.
I know, that's why I gave it to you.
Yeah, and I also used to work with Dennis, Head of Beds.
Head of Beds, yeah. I remember, yeah. Roper Road, Canterbury.
Was back in our heyday, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was obviously involved with Clark's in Maidstone. So it's the sister shop of Lendlease. It's a former furnishing store, Clark's in Maidstone. And they're back up and running, so congratulations. They're under a new name following a major refurb or a rager mefurb, whichever you want to say.
Absolutely.
Clark's has operated in the county town of Maidstone for more than 90 years, gosh, and has been taken over in 2007 by Canterbury firm Lendlease, of which I bought, in the end, I saved up and bought a vice spring bed from them.
Did you?
And they're not
cheap. Did Dennis come round and bounce on it for you?
No, we lay on it in the store for
quite
a while.
What, you and
while.
Dennis?
No, me and my new husband.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
And then Dennis got us up, told us to get out.
Yeah.
Anyway, early this year, it was decided to rebrand and revamp the store, closing in March for work to take place. So now it's called Lendlease Home, and it's opened the doors to customers at the Sandling Road site. So congratulations. Mm. That is good news, isn't it?
It is. Clark's have been there for a long time, and it burnt down.
Yeah,
that's what caused the problem. They rebuilt it, but then they never got back to the business that they'd lost.
Mm.
And then Lendlease took them over, which is nice. So it's nice to see it back. And,
well,
and Lendlease are a well-established Kent-based business as well.
Yeah, if you want some nice furniture and lovely, lovely staff, they're a really nice team there.
Yep, I've had a tweet from I Trust Assurance, and they say, could we have a shout-out on the Business Bunker show? Please, of course you can. I Trust Assurance are a business that provides apps and support and consultancy on whistleblowing, and they have a fantastic app called Speak Up, which is well worth looking at.
Sorry, I'm just answering a tweet. The owner of a much-loved harbour business destroyed by a fire. This is another one for me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Spoken of his devastation as he reveals...
Oh, what's the Crab and Winkle?
Yeah, it will take at least 2 years to reopen. I've had many a lovely lunch there, Peter Bennett. He runs it with his wife, Elizabeth. So they run the Crab and Winkle, or they did, and the Whitstable Fish Market. So underneath, where you'd go and get all your fish and... Mm. It's a huge, and to imagine to happen now, this year.
Yeah, it burned down, didn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Apparently, the gossip is that it was a welders were in there, and they went off for lunch. Must have left some sparks.
Left his welding on.
Yeah. Sounds a bit fishy.
Well,
get it?
Oh, very good. Yeah. The building itself is owned by the council, isn't it?
Yes. Mm. So they said it took 4 hours for the blaze to completely and utterly ruin almost 30 years of hard graft. That's Peter Bennett, and it's the Crab and Winkle. His business, which he and his wife Elizabeth run, was destroyed on May the 26th, my birthday. But I wasn't there.
And that would be all the candles you had then, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was in Ibiza. But it started in the neighbouring...
Having 82 candles on your KK. Yeah,
very amusing. It started in the neighbouring cockle shed in Whitstable Harbour, despite the valiant effort of firefighters. And the City Council, CCC, which owns the building, is investigating the cause of the fire, has not yet given a cause. Well, I heard it's welding.
Must be true then.
It was actually as I was walking along. However, the fire service believes the cause of the blade to have been accidental. The council will be responsible for the repairs to the main structure of the Crab and Winkle restaurant and fishing market building. It will also be consulting with residents on the future use of the cockle shed site, which has since been demolished. There are no decisions yet on the long-term future of the formal cockle shed site.
It's not easy to say, is it? Cockle. It's
cockle shed.
Give it another go. Cockle.
Cockle shed. Yeah, it is a cockle shed.
It is a cockle shed.
Your lips have to do that.
Yeah, she's from Essex, you know. Yeah. It's a cockle shed, isn't it?
I tell you what, I had to do a voiceover for that film, which I mentioned, and I had to say toxicity.
Toxicity.
I found that
That's
really
not easy, is it,
to
toxicity?
Round. Yeah. I had to say it again and again.
Yeah, toxicity.
But yeah, it is sad, and I think it's a shame if they use the cockle shed for something else, because we all love cockles, don't we? Cockles and winkles and things.
Yeah, of course.
Don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
With a little bit of vinegar, a bit of black pepper.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
What's that face?
Nothing.
I'm just saying, we all have a cockle.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. In fact, on Sunday, I minced down to the harbour with Darcy, and I bought a little tub of cockles. I didn't want to cook, so it was a
nice
day.
You didn't give them to the dog?
No, I wouldn't give them to the dog. She did have bacon this morning, because I had these antibiotics, and I had nothing to... She wouldn't eat it. She kept spitting it out. Greyhounds and pills. My last dog, Cassie, border collie, best ever. And sorry, Darcy, if you're listening, but she would just take a pill. You'd just pop it in her mouth, swallow it. Madam Darcy, because they've got quite long gullets, haven't they? She makes a terror. She chokes and coughs. We have to wrap it up in ham and cheese. And
you think that's bad? You should have seen Amanda.
You taking your private.
No, you should have seen Amanda and me trying to cut the dog's nails. It was hilarious. The dog wasn't having any of that. Yeah, she had to take it to the vet eventually to get her claws cut. Yeah,
you want to take her to Serenity?
Yeah,
Serenity Becker. Yeah. In fact, Darcy, I think greyhounds are not particularly well treated because she just freezes at the vets if she's having her nails. She just freezes like that.
And well, that's good.
When you put her lead on, you know how most dogs dance about because they're happy. She just freezes completely. There's nothing. It's quite sad. Really.
What dog do you have?
It's a mongrel.
Oh, she's lovely. Yeah. She's a rescue.
Yeah.
She looks like a sort of a whiskery lurcher, I'd
say. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A small, you know, very, nice very whiskers.
She's a pretty dog. Yeah. And it's not my dog, it's my partner's dog.
She's yours now. You know.
The partner or the dog?
Yeah.
But she's a really very affectionate dog. But she came from Greece, didn't she?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Found her under a bush, literally.
Gooseberry bush?
Yeah. Yeah. No, no.
That's what my mum always
told me. No. It would have been an olive bush. It was in Greece. The mother had a litter of puppies, and they found the puppies under the bush, so they took one in. I think she took two in, and one of them died. I don't know the story. But my partner used to live in Catalonia.
Paul is not really a dog person, but he's had to learn very quickly.
That's not true. I like dogs. I just don't want one.
Yeah, you like other people's.
I like other people's dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, cats is okay, but my problem is that you have, with animals, you have to look after them, yeah? And that cramps my style, you know? I can't just go, do you know what, we're going away for 2 days. Mm-hmm. You know, what are we going to do with a dog?
Oh, tell me about it. Because Darcy has, she's scared of being left because she's always grown up in kennels, so she's chewing doors and things if we leave her, so it's quite difficult at the moment.
Yeah. Right.
Tunage?
We're going to do the tunage. I mean, we should have done some more emails and tweets by now, but you talked so much, we didn't have time.
Well, you mentioned probiotics and coming out, and I just thought it was quite an interesting subject.
Yeah, yeah, but we'll skate over that.
Skate. Fish. Munger. So, playing a tune?
Right. This is quite a long track, so while it starts off, you can tell me what it is.
Someone with a guitar.
No, she's good, you know.
Bringing in something else. Well, it sounds quite old.
It's 70s. Yeah.
Got your loons. Oh, a little bit of bongo and... I've no idea, but keep going.
You'll get it in a minute.
A little bit of flute, bongo.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it Fleetwood Mac?
No.
Come on, Darren, help me out.
I haven't got a clue.
Nice bit of guitar coming in. Oh, give me your money.
No.
Yeah, it's 10cc.
No, it's 10cc.
Didn't you play this last week?
No, it's 10cc. Art for art's sake.
Art for art's sake. Oh, I see what you did there. Give me your money. Love it.
Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
Hey, welcome back. That was Art for Art's Sake, 10cc.
I played
that last week, didn't I?
I said.
I think I probably did, yeah.
But, you know, at your age...
I forget at my age. I just forget.
It's a bit like Groundhog Day.
It is. Do you know what I'm going to play next week?
I've got
a brilliant 10cc track.
Spania.
I've got a brilliant 10cc track I'm going to play next week.
Art for Art's Sake.
I haven't played that for ages.
No, it's a really, really good one. And I was just saying the other day, when I was driving in, actually, I listened to either Gold UK, because I'm that sort of age, or I listen on the way home to Greatest Hits at 4 p.m. Simon Mayo, who used to be on BBC, of course.
What's he on now, Scala?
He's on what I just said, Greatest Hits.
What's that then?
Greatest Hits. It's a channel. It's
great. Is it one of the global radio channels?
Yeah, one of them.
Okay.
So I listened to him, and he's great, and he's just how he was on the drive show on Radio 2. There was a bit of a kerfuffle because they messed it up, didn't they? Because he had a great show, and then they put him with Joe Wiley.
Who's also good, but together they didn't work.
They didn't gel.
A bit like us, really.
A bit like us, yeah. We didn't work. It's time you were farmed out, frankly.
Absolutely,
if you play the same track every week.
I know.
But, I mean, listeners are going to turn off in droves.
Yeah, but I won't know.
You won't notice. I wanted to tell you something about the Who Peninsula.
What?
The Who Peninsula.
The Who Peninsula.
Who would have thought we have a Who Peninsula?
A Who Peninsula. I thought you were going to tell me about Roger Daltrey for a minute, but you didn't know the Who Peninsula,
H-double-O.
Yeah.
It's a factory. This is quite interesting.
Oh, right, yeah.
So it can turn out 1,000 modular homes a year, and it could be coming to the Who Peninsula.
Right, okay.
It's going to create, hopefully, 250 jobs in the process. And house builders, Barclay Homes, they want to set up production plant at King's North Industrial Estate. Is that near us?
Yes.
Where is it? Give us a clue.
King's North.
Give us a clue.
We're in King's North.
We have a lot of American listeners, so it's Kent.
Oh, blimey. If we're going to do that, is this for Nurse Liz?
Yeah.
I've got to do it in pounds, haven't I? Because she doesn't understand stones.
No.
Yeah.
No.
King's North is where we are. It's where the studio
is. That's what I thought. Yeah. So it's an industrial estate. And properties will be built before... So they'll be built where we are, where the Channel Radio studio is.
Not in the studio, though.
No,
there's not enough room.
No, there's not. It would get too hot as well, and dusty.
Yeah.
So properties will be built before being transported to a permanent location. You know what this is like?
Yeah.
This is a bit like the Huff House.
Or prefabs.
Yeah, all the prefabs, of course.
My nan lived in Shepherd's Bush, and at the end of the Second World War, they built a load of prefabs behind her house, which were really lovely, but they were made of asbestos.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I thought a lot of them were sort of metal.
Metal framed.
Yeah, and a lot of people still live in them.
Yeah, they do.
Great idea, really. Anyway, they're carrying out consultations as a management team with residents and other interested parties to gauge view of proposals. And last year, the company opened its first factory in Northfleet, where homes are manufactured using automated production technologies from the aerospace and automotive sectors. Each module of varying sizes and requirements leaves fully fitted and finished and ready to be moved to anywhere in the southeast. I don't know why they've stopped in the southeast. They could go anywhere.
Yeah.
Up to Wales.
I don't know.
I quite fancy Rutland, actually. Anyway, the homes don't look any different to on-built site properties and can be delivered more quickly than traditional construction methods. They don't mention if they're going to be eco.
Well, I'm sure they are, but, this whole modularity thing is a big thing these days, isn't it?
Well, I watched a Huff House going up near me, and it was amazing.
But for me, we still have the major underlying problem where they talk about house building, and they say, you know, this is a cheaper method of house building, all the rest of it. But building a house isn't expensive. It's the land that's expensive, and finding the appropriate land.
And also infrastructure. So if there's no transport, and then everybody's going to drive out at 8 o'clock in the morning of the school run, and then you get chaos. There has to be doctor surgeries.
They're driving me nuts at the moment.
Doctors?
No. House builders.
Okay. Oh, next to you?
Next door to me, I had two empty fields for years and years and years, and now they're building 30 houses there.
You're lucky it's just 30.
Yeah, it's banging around in there.
Well, where I live, my journey this morning from Whitstable to across the Thanet Way, it's just all those huge estates going up. And, of course, our sewage can't cope with it. So we're getting sewage in the sea a lot.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the councillors, I won't mention his name, but you know who, I got him round to drink wine with me pick his brains.
Yeah.
And he said there's a tanker load of sewage now every 10 minutes and they literally cannot cope because of all the new builds.
I own a business in Canterbury and I was reading some of the stuff from one of the council meetings the other day, and all the parties involved, not just the people that run the council, are all very concerned. They need to build houses, but as you say, they can't. There is no way that the sewage treatment plant will cope with it anymore from Canterbury, and they just can't do anything with it, and it's being chucked in the sea.
Yeah, it is. But not just good. In this area, across the UK.
But it's particularly bad in the Canterbury area because of something to do with where the sewage treatment plant is. It just cannot cope with any more, and it's seeping out and all kinds of nonsense.
I also know that we're facing a water shortage in the southeast, and I don't know why we don't build reservoirs. Mm. I went up to Rutland and they have this huge reservoir.
It's like everything, it's land costs, isn't it? So, as I just said, the southeast is incredibly crowded.
I think I had a funny, as I drove through, the way I come, there was a sign, a KCC sign, because they're digging up the road and stuff, and it said, for extra parking, try Guildford. Whoever was in charge of the signs.
And I walked back,
And I was just going, by the, what's that place where you used to go to the country club? A thing with Bob Manor. Eastwell Manor.
Eastwell Manor. There, okay.
And it said Guildford, nearest parking. Very odd. So somebody in control must be like.
Yeah. Their geography.
Like you with your music.
Like you with your geography.
Geography is not my.
You tell me about it,
I'm quite good. I've got a very good sense of direction.
You just don't know where you're going.
I just don't know the bits. But if I go somewhere, I know that I get back right or left.
Yeah, listen. She's an Essex girl, which I kind of guess allows this. But if you ask Jules, she's lived in. How long have you lived in Kent?
30 years.
Yeah, 30 odd years
from Egypt.
Yeah, so, but she's still West Malin and Egerton. Yeah. And,
because it's all written in a strange sort of Saxon way, isn't it? But I came from Cairo, so I know my way around Cairo quite well. Should we talk to Darren?
Yeah.
I feel there's a lot of heckling going on this
morning. Yeah.
What it is?
You're boring.
No, you know what it is?
What?
Because I'm going away. You've got uppity.
I'm having
a holiday.
You're in holiday mood, aren't you?
Yeah,
you're throwing caution to the wind. And
I've got my flip-flops already, my little snorkel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've got my wetsuit.
Saw that.
Oh, designed in Australia
and made in China.
Gets my goat. How can they possibly set? Can they do that?
I think you've made a schoolgirl error with it, though.
Why?
Well,
it's, trying to get in it was hard enough.
Yeah, I was going to say, but it's the colour of a whale, really.
Really? Oh, how awful! Did I send you a picture of me in it? Actually, it looked quite good because it sucked everything in. The cesarean and
I'm not going there. Yeah. I'm not going. I'm going to talk to Darren. I'm not getting dragged into that argument.
I've told my eldest, Josh, who's now, 35, he owes me a tummy tuck because he was a cesarean. He was 10 pounds, that boy. Actually, I look quite good. I was quite shocked. But trying to get in one with nails, I've broken 4 nails.
Why have you got a wetsuit, by the way?
For water sports and things in the winter, because we do, we're quite, physical.
Oh, so not in Marrera. This is for Tankerton.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
And to protect me.
Fair enough. No, that's fair enough.
And to protect me from the sewage, I think.
Yeah, probably. Fair enough. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk to Darren before we run out of time, shall
we? Darren.
Hello.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show, at long last, Darren Morehouse. Darren is from ARC UK Technologies. Darren, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being so patient and listening to the nonsense talked on this show before we got round to somebody sensible, such as yourself. Why don't we kick off? Tell us a little bit about Darren first.
Thank you very much. And firstly, thank you, Paul and Jules, for welcoming me on to Business Bunker. Especially Jules, of course. And Jules, before I talk, you keep mentioning your new husband.
Yeah.
How new is the husband?
We've been together 30 years, married for 12.
Oh, wow. So he's not that new.
No, but I'd like to keep him on his toes.
She calls him new, though, because he's about her fifth or sixth husband.
I can't help it if I'm irresistible. I mean, Paul's only been married once. Yeah. Nobody else will have him, frankly.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's that pink tutu?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
My new husband, he's ex-Bloomberg, and he writes about emerging markets. So pre-COVID, we used to travel a lot to Africa. We were always travelling, weren't we?
Absolutely.
And Paul didn't get too upset in those days. Now I go to Valencia, and he's in a huff.
Wow, I understand. Well, no, thank you so much for having me on the show. Super excited, and hello to listeners, of course. So my name is Darren Morehouse. I'm 51, as Jules has mentioned. I have two dogs. I probably should mention my family members first.
But
so we've got the French Bulldog and the pug. I'm married to the long-suffering Michelle Morehouse, and our daughter Isabel Morehouse, who's a trainee lawyer.
Oh, wow. Okay. You look too young.
I do.
He's 51. He just told you that. He is young.
Amazing.
Compared to you and me.
What an amazing career.
Yes, and she's, I think, the youngest at her law firm to get her training contract. So, as any parents are, obviously we're very excited. But, that's me. And thank you very much for the opportunity to come on the show and talk a bit about our business.
It's an absolute pleasure. So, let's talk a bit about ARC UK Technologies. Now, you're actually an American company, are you not?
We are indeed.
Yeah. So, tell us about the parent company in America and then how you rocked up over here. And I know that recently, I don't know how recently, we'll discuss that in a moment, you've moved into Kent.
Yeah, thank you very much, Paul. Yes, so ARC stands for American Reprographic Company, a global PLC, and we're listed on the New York Stock Exchange. The company was founded by a gentleman called Suri, a Sri Lankan gentleman, and effectively we are a document solutions business. And I'll bore us all in a moment what that means.
Yeah, right.
A lot of people were,
what on earth is what's a document solution?
So basically the business has grown through acquisition. So we're in every state in the US apart from the cattle states.
Right.
And then here in the UK, ARC made their very first acquisition outside of America and bought another business, which was called the Reprographic Warehouse. Ross and Ricky, Ross is our, we say vice president, big American, managing director. Ricky's our operations director. Their family business was bought in 2008 and became ARC UK. I had a business with some colleagues in Peckham in southeast London, not Peckham in Kent. We were acquired in 2014.
Right.
So effectively there was 185 offices globally. There's been 165 acquisitions, and the business has grown via that acquisition model, and very much to find passionate owner drivers to give great customer service and be part of the overall family.
Okay, wow. Cool.
Impressive.
So you're based in Dartford now.
Correct.
So let's talk about the things that you do.
Sure.
And as you just mentioned, what was it you said? You were going to tell me about in a minute?
Document solutions,
that's him. Yeah. So, and tell me about document solutions.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is my sort of time for our sales pitch, because when we had our print business before we was acquired by ARC, it was very easy to say, what do you do, Darren?
Yeah.
We do print, we do design. So we're a global document solutions business. As I mentioned, we've got 185 businesses across the globe. US, Middle East, India, China, etc., etc. Yeah, exactly that, Paul. What do? So we support our customers with design, printing, installation, document scanning, technology solutions, and event delivery. So effectively, we help our clients with a multitude of projects. I often use buzzwords from business cards to building wraps.
Right.
So anything in between. And our business, as I mentioned, has grown through acquisition. And we lead the way and help businesses evolve in a post-COVID world. So anything around documents, but print is very much at the heart of what we do and offer.
Okay. I mean, it's interesting that 100 years ago, when I had a proper job, and I worked for a big corporate. One of the projects I was given back in the 1970s, now at the end of the 1970s, was to make the office paperless.
Gosh, in the 1970s?
Yeah. Wow. They were even trying it then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So 40 years later, they're still not managing it. But my idea was, well, why don't we just get all the paper and throw it in a tip? There you go, paperless office.
Yeah.
But interestingly, there is still a huge usage of paper, certainly in certain industries as well, like the legal profession and stuff like that, still rely an awful lot on paper. But an awful lot of people don't anymore. It's electronic. So how do those two things fit together?
Yeah, I think, as you've said, Paul, I mean, for years now, haven't we? We've all spoke about going paperless.
Yeah.
Some of the services that we offer, we help our clients print less, which is a bit counterintuitive in terms of what we're offering.
Yeah.
So print hasn't gone away. As you mentioned, legal and lots of sectors still have an awful lot of use of paper. So we're just helping our customers really evolve to minimise the paper usage, digitise where possible, but we still haven't seen the death of print, which a lot of people predicted. In fact, certain markets like DM, direct mail, have seen huge growth, and I think, you know, COVID was all stuck indoors, etc. It gave great opportunities to deliver to a captive audience.
Yeah, I mean, even in our own little way, I've got a pile of paper here in front of me, and they're printed out emails, because on the radio, it's far easier to read it off a printed sheet than it is to read it off a screen.
Absolutely.
You know, because I can shuffle it around, and I know what I'm going to read next, or I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to read that.
But also, you can make notes, which I do, which annoys Paul, because he'll reuse these, and I make all sorts.
And she's written on them.
Yeah.
I love you and things like that.
Things like
I've
little
seen, she just keeps writing about Valencia for some reason.
I know. She's writing her holiday list at the moment. Don't forget the sun cream.
But I get sent a lot of stuff, and I do print it off, and I really think twice about it. But I will reuse the old paper and on the other side. But for me,
isn't it a bit hard using that?
What?
Printer paper.
Hard using. I turn it over and I use.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I thought you used it for other things.
For writing, no. I use bamboo for that, actually. Which is,
you use what?
Bamboo. It's a company that delivers loo rolls, if you must know. And it's all recycled bamboo. And they plant a tree for every you know, pack of loo rolls.
Really?
Yeah. I'm very eco, you know me.
Bamboo toilet roll.
Yeah. It's called bamboo.
I see what it did there.
But what I was going to say was, before I was interrupted by my co-host, is that sometimes I don't want to read on the screen. I find it much better to have a little piece of paper, go out in the garden with a coffee, and, you know, I'll be doing it on this, and it's just awful. Or I take my laptop out. Much prefer a piece of paper.
Completely agree.
I have tried printing off whole books before, but I stopped at that because
She buys e-books and then prints them off. Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's one more in everybody.
Even with a Kindle, it's not the same as a real book, is it? You know, you curl up with a book and a curly-whirly on a chaise longue.
Oh,
I'm
a Kindle fan. I'm a massive, massive book reader, and I read really quickly as well. So I read two or three, maybe sometimes four books a week. And some years ago, I was ordering a book, and I have a big library of paper books, and I was ordering a book, and somehow or another, I managed to buy it electronically rather than as a physical book, and it downloaded it to my computer at the time. I thought, damn, I didn't want to do that. Anyway, I read this book, and I got to the end, and I thought, I want to buy the next one of that. I bought the next one straight away and just carried on reading it, and I was hooked from then on.
Yeah.
I've got a Kindle, and now I read, download the next in the series, read it, download the next in the series, read it.
Well, it's that instant thing, but I still love a proper book. But I was going to ask you, I can't remember how we got onto this subject, it's printing, but you mentioned events.
Yes.
So obviously, that went quiet during lockdowns.
Absolutely.
And then everybody went on to Zoom. So are you now seeing events emerging again?
Yeah, we've seen a real uptake in that. Of course, the event industry just absolutely died in COVID.
Yeah.
It's a big part of what we offer. But the uptake on events, I think there's a lot of pent-up energy that people want to get out and have events. So we've seen a real uptake in that. And what we're trying to do in the event world, you know, we've all been to events. We've all seen them many times. But we're just trying to educate our customers where we can in terms of environmental credentials, etc. So everything we do as a business, not only in the UK but globally, it's all about the environment. We've just become carbon neutral at our location in Kent. We believe we are the only document solutions business in Kent to be carbon neutral. And some years ago, we led the way by partnering with a charity called One Tree Planted.
Mm.
So One Tree Planted, fantastic charity. I don't know if you know much about them, but our job was going to our customers and saying, dear customer, do you know in last year you've used equivalent of 83 trees? If you, as an example, you know, if you donate $2, that's all it costs to plant a tree to repopulate, obviously, from a forestry point of view, ARC will match that donation. So we started as a business, we planted 5,000 trees, and that's been a massive program for us. So the event world's a particularly strange one, Jules, that, you know, we've lots of Fomex panels, things that aren't particularly good for the environment, but we found some really good materials that can be recycled, and the world is changing, so people are buying into it at last.
Okay, so talking about those kind of, I would call it, I don't know if there's, I would call them display products.
Yeah.
You know, we started off with pull-ups, and what do they? Yeah. The thing on a roller that you put up and look on the top.
As Americans call them, retractables.
That's them. Yeah, the ones that trap your fingers when you just get up the top. Yeah. That was it. That's what most people use. But the kind of industry's moved on. Just go through some of the types of things that you produce in ARC for those kind of display purposes at an event.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Paul. So what we find, a lot of customers reach out to us and say, what should we do? What's new in the event world, etc. So we're using a lot of aluminium frame systems.
They're
very light, reusable, easily to carry about and move, etc. But with stretch fabric systems, and stretch fabric is a fantastic substrate that gives a great medium to display your brand or whatever you're advertising, but also is recyclable. So you're just not having all this landfill with Fomex panels. So we're seeing.
So what would they use? How would they recycle aluminium, for example?
You keep the aluminium.
Okay, so you keep the frame.
And it's a modular frame, but effectively we can take the graphic back, we can recycle it.
So could you reprint it? Or?
We can't reprint it, but it goes back into a recycling program.
Okay.
With like a certificate of that recycling.
So it could be turned into a loo roll maybe or something?
Yeah, maybe your
it
bamboo,
could well be my bamboo.
You never know.
Could do. Yeah. But they've also got stretch fabric.
So it could be clothes.
You'd probably be interested in. Clothes. Stretch fabric.
Yeah,
You can make your new wetsuit out of that, shall
you? Yeah, I certainly could.
Yeah.
Why not? An advertiser radio show.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, so they're the kind of products there. You mentioned building wraps as well.
Sure.
Let's talk a little bit about wraps, because wrap technology is an interesting thing, isn't it? And you're not always aware when something has actually been wrapped. I mean, many years ago, I owned a motor racing team. And of course, when you get a new sponsor, you rewrap the car with all the sponsor know, because you're not going to repaint the car every time, because cars tend to get damaged quite a lot, so you know, respraying them would be really expensive, so we tended to wrap them a lot. So tell us a little bit about wrapping, not just cars but all the kind of things that you can wrap.
Absolutely. So I mean, our client portfolio is widespread, from you know, one-man band businesses to multinational sort of FTSE 100 type businesses. We are very big in the construction world. And construction world, we have a lot of site hoarding. We've all seen those where you see a brand new construction site and there's beautiful images of what the project will look like on completion. So typically that's in a material called dye bond, again, recyclable. And then we do lots of traditional building wraps and vehicle wraps. The building wraps, things like stretch fabrics, again, but it's a mesh because it has to be a wind loading. And the goal is really to simulate, so we work with people like the Old Vic Theatre, that when the scaffolding goes up and the wrap goes around it, the graphic has a picture of the actual theatre.
Okay. I was going to ask you kind of what the application of it is. So what you're looking at on a building wrap. So basically you've taken, for want of a better term, a photograph of the building, put that out the front while you repaint it, and then nobody notices that it's gone away.
Correct. We just done one at the, last year at Houses of Parliament, where we took some pictures locally of the tree environment, etc. And copied the park, and it was a fantastic project.
Amazing technology.
You quite often see these things like at the outlet centre here in Ashford. Well, they were rebuilding that and they were building new shop units. They'd wrap the front of it to look like a series of shops.
Okay. In fact, the last one I mentioned, if you look on our Insta page for ARC UK, we've just done one at Brent Cross where we're using mirror finished dye bonds. So it's a complete mirror reflecting the local park. It was fun to install in the sunlight for the
I can imagine.
But it looks incredible.
Okay, cool. And then Do you do clothing printing?
Yes, we do. We offer full merchandise, apparel. So we're supporting customers literally. A lot of customers say, damn, we're going to catch you out. You know, what can't you do? But yes, clothing, T-shirts, polo shirts, anything really to support events, event delivery, or our clients.
Okay, cool. So there's a whole range of things that you can print. Is there anything you can't print on?
We haven't found anything yet. We've printed on boxing gloves, AstroTurf, paving slabs, you name it. We haven't yet been caught out, but that's a big thing to throw out on the
corporate show. Paving slabs, there's a thing, isn't there? We ought to have some of those, corporate paving slabs, like it. Are we still... And I've seen lots of things to try and kind of modernise whatever way you want to look at it, this. But I'm still a fan of business cards, I don't give out as many as I used to because nowadays you just go, oh, Google me. But I've seen all these things where they gave you microchips and USBs and you go, this is going to be the future. But it never is because business cards are just far easier. Yeah. Is there still a big market in business cards?
There is, and I think as you and Jules started talking about earlier about the sort of the death of print, for the want of a better expression, everything's coming full circle, and absolutely you'll find there's things, there's fads where, as you quite rightly said, Paul, someone will have a new card with an NFT chip in it, scan my card and upload it to your mobile device, but no, we still see all of the traditional what I call business lines, and business cards are still very current. We still like giving them out. I mean, I remember, I'm that old, I remember the Rolodex. As you're so young, of course. But business cards are still very, very popular.
Cool. So you do this huge range of printing and displays and document management. Just coming back, just finishing off, coming back to document management and document solutions. Is any of that handled electronically now? Are you involved in that?
Yeah, absolutely. A very large part of what we do is scanning. So we go to a business, we take their records.
Right.
We understand how long, from a legality point of view, you have to keep those records.
Yeah.
We'll scan those. We'll intelligently capture that data, put it into our own app that will work on your mobile device, desktop, laptop, etc., and work like a Google search facility. So that really grew for us in COVID. People working remotely had to access documents. We now can have, obviously, legal documents are allowed in court electronically. So that's a big part of our business. We've got a lot of what we call AIM centres, which is our archival information management, that specialise in that. Yeah, big part of what we offer.
Right. Okay, I'm old enough to remember microfiche. Yes. Nobody out there listening will have a clue what I'm talking about now, but many, many years ago, before the advent of computer technology in its present form, if you wanted to keep an archive of old documents without storing the paper, there was a system called microfiche where you basically filmed the document on a very small piece of film, and you then needed a special reader to read it.
Well, around that, just so you know, we actually scan microfiche, aperture cards, x-rays, you can scan anything. So we're familiar with those, and to bring that into a modern world is the desire of lots of organisations.
Right, okay. Darren, fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. If people want to find out more about ARC UK Technologies, what's the best way to do that?
I would say on our website, which is www.e-arc.co.uk. We're on all of the social channels, or feel free to email me direct. I mentioned my email address, it's very long-winded. I'm sure no one will remember it, but if anyone is writing this down, it's Darren, D-A-R-R-E-N, dot M-O-O-R-H-O-U-S-E, at e-arc.co.uk.
Great, thank you. Darren, thank you for that. There is a link to the ARC UK website on the Business Bunker Radio website. That will stay there forever. So if you didn't get a chance to write that down, look on the radio website. It's there. Click on it, and then you can find all the contact details. Darren, pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Darren Morehouse, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Cool. We've got loads of tweets to catch up on. We've got another guest to talk to in the second half of the show. And lots of things to do. Michael Park Surveyors have said they're listening in from South Africa.
And, lovely. My favourite.
That's Steph is listening in, although Michael Parks aren't in South Africa, but Steph is. Yeah, Michael Parks are in Midway.
Yeah, of course.
And they're the surveyor company, Michael Parks Surveyors. They're commercial surveyors and property specialists.
And I think Steph wasn't very well, was she? So
She was unwell, but I think she's now recovered, hopefully.
Yes, exactly. And hopefully she'll have a little, if she might be near Constantia, my favourite place for wine.
Right, okay.
Lovely region.
Paragon Drones have tweeted, "Hi Paul and Jules, loving today's lineup. Thank you very much for taking the time to give us a mention, not just today but every week. It means a lot to us and we love the cheesy tunage." That's Paragon Drones. Follow them on the Twitter at, surprisingly, Paragon Drones.
So they even love it, the cheesy tunage, when you play it 2 weeks in a row.
Don't start.
Exactly.
Just don't start. Why don't you go on holiday?
Hey, we've heard from Ken Heron.
Have we? Ken, hello. How are you?
He is on the Twitter. He's well worth following, at Ken Heron. So it's what his he is, H-E-R-R-O-N. And he is the CGO. He's very American, Darren.
Well, he's American, that's why.
Yeah, he's CGO. What does that stand for?
CGO.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Corporate General Officer.
Yeah, he's something big. And he's multi-conversational. He's a platform company of the UIB. He's based in Singapore. He's a device whisperer. Make human-to-machine communications simple. I'm always asking him about AR because AR drives me nuts. I've told you I've got rid of my Alexa and I've got my Sonos because that doesn't argue back or interrupt me.
Hello.
he's a mover and shaker, a cool hunter. So hello to him. He's listening, hopefully, in Singapore or Florida, maybe.
Hi, Ken. Hope you're well. Ken used to do a similar show to this in New York called the Soho, the Small Office Home Office Show.
We rolled it out on Channel Radio at one
time. Did. In fact, I hosted it a couple of times as well, which was a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
I stood in for him doing the show in New York, and my guest on the show was from Forbes. And about 10 minutes in, they obviously Googled me and came up with this stupid photograph of me in a pink tutu that she posted on the internet. And
it
they,
was a charity gig, and it was fine.
No, but these are big American, hot, big hitting business people, and they go, "Is this you?" No, not at all. Martin Rees has asked for a tweet, asked for a shout out. Martin runs Collectors Buddy. He buys and sells collectibles and donates the money to charity.
And Sarah Marsh Collins, who's now in Devon, I believe.
She has moved to Devon.
Lover of cream teas and dogs. She's sending her love to Darcy Greyhound, my greyhound, and says probiotics and kaolin for greyhound tummies works a treat, which Darcy is on. So, yeah, thanks for that. And it's a great one. And Twitter's been very busy, but my timeline is mad. Oh, Jade, have you mentioned them?
No, you can give them a mention.
Jade Window Clean, and they say, "Hello, Business Bunker." They are, I'm going to read out, Jade Window Clean is their Twitter handle, 30 years experience. So they do offices, residential, and they're in London South East, and they say, big shout out, please. So hello to you guys.
Fantastic. What's On in Kent have tweeted, "We'd love a shout out. We've got plenty on this week, from comedy to two big events at the Hop Farm with Westlife Music, Mr. Michael Ball and Alfie Bowe."
Really?
There you go.
Biggie.
Yeah, give them a follow on the Twitter, What's On in Kent, or better still, download their app from the App Store or Google Play Store. What's On in Kent will keep you up to date with everything that's happening in the county.
And did you read Tracy Ferguson's tweet?
No.
So, morning everyone, she says, which was this morning. Mm-hmm. Have a fantastic, and she's used the hashtag #BeBunker, so 10 points to you, Tracy, to Paul, Jules and guests. She said she's in Orpington this afternoon, so she'll catch up with the replay. Always a lively, fun and informative show. Thank you for continuing to support small businesses in Kent and beyond. You can follow Tracy Ferguson. She is on Tazy64, TAZI64. She's the owner of Plucky's World, and she is also a Prince's Trust mentor, and her website is Plucky's with a YS, pluckysworld.com.
Fantastic. Chips and Dinks, afternoon Business Bunker crew and guests, hope you have yet another great show. We'll be listening on the catch up as usual, but with you in spirit. Thank you for supporting all the small businesses in Kent and the South East. That's a pleasure.
Deborah Turner,
come on.
I've just lost her. Sorry, I retweeted her, and then she. Oh, here she is. So she says, looking forward to hearing Vanilla Webb, Jules Sirkin, in that order. Please can Haynes B. Sue and I have a shout out for our Women in Business event, which is next Thursday, the 7th of July. You can go on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk to click on that and find out more about it. Of course, you were comparing the business awards.
I'm doing them tomorrow night.
Yeah, but that photo was really, really lovely.
Yeah.
But when was that then?
Well, it was the last time I did it, 2 years ago.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wasn't I there then?
No.
Wasn't that?
Oh, you were actually. You were actually.
Yeah. Wasn't that Ashford business event?
It was. Yeah. Yeah.
And
it was 2 years ago. That was the last one. I'm doing the Ashford and Canterbury Awards tomorrow night.
Lovely. Yeah. Okay. Well, you looked. That was a fabulous. Who was the snapper? I did ask, but
I don't know. It just somebody used my phone and took the picture. I don't know who it was.
Really good photo.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And when we come back, we've got another fantastic guest.